Jesus had many encounters in his 3 years of public ministry. Some of them were brief, some of them were long, some of them were conversations, maybe others were one-sided, either to Jesus or hearing Jesus, but he encountered a lot of people. A lot of people had questions for Jesus, and he would answer them. He told powerful stories, parables. He worked incredible miracles, some that were very individual and some that were for the great multitudes. But whatever he said and wherever he said it and to whomever was listening, those encounters were very often life-changing. Such was the case with a man named Nicodemus. I want this morning to talk about the man named Nicodemus, an encounter, a conversation that Jesus had with this man, where Jesus was able to speak to this man, and he was able to help his mind and his heart to be open to the great truth of God and to the purpose why Jesus came. The story is told in John chapter 3, and I know you've heard part of this story and some of these scriptures many times. I want to read from chapter 3, verse 1 through verse 6, and then at verse 14. I am going to ask you today, would you stand, if you're able to, while we read this story of Jesus' encounter with Nicodemus. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him." In reply, Jesus declared, "I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." "How can a man be born when he is old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit." And now, if you would, at verse 14. "Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For so God loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this great story, this great exchange, this great encounter between Jesus and Nicodemus. I pray that the power and the truth of Jesus' words to him would also be known in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Nicodemus was a Pharisee. That meant that he had studied at length all the writings of the Jewish people, the sacred writings of the law of Moses, the Psalms, the prophets, and other Jewish writings that were a part of their history. In order for Nicodemus to be in the place that he was at, he would have not only studied all of the writings, but he had to have really known them. And he was intently, it would seem, wanting to obey them. Nicodemus seems to be a person that came to Jesus, one who wanted to honor God and wanted to know what God said to him. Most of the Pharisees in Jesus' day were like that. Most of them wanted to do what God had called them to do, and even some of them had, that was so important to them that sometimes they missed even the meaning of why God had given them certain things, certain laws. And we hear about some of them in the New Testament. Nicodemus was not just a Pharisee, but we're told that he was among those on the ruling council. That probably meant that he was one of 12 people who were considered the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem. There were a lot of Pharisees. There were a lot of Sadducees, but Nicodemus seems to be one of those that had risen to the top of leadership where he was at. That would tell us that Nicodemus had a very significant place of influence. He had a very significant opportunity, a significant voice, and he was able to lead others, and people came to him for his thinking and for what he thought and he believed. We also know that Nicodemus had been watching and listening to Jesus, perhaps over these last 3 years. He had been among the crowds who had heard Jesus talk and teach and work miracles. He had been among those hundreds, even thousands, that Jesus had interacted with. And so Nicodemus would have seen the miracles that Jesus had done, many of them, and he would be amazed by them. Nicodemus would know that anyone that could work the miracles that Jesus had was not just a man of God. He had to be more. He knew that the prophecies that he had read and he had known, and like some others in Jerusalem, he knew that they were pointing to something about the identity of this man named Jesus, and he wanted to know who he was. He knew that the reality of who Jesus was very significant, and he, like many others, was beginning to ask the question, could Jesus be the Messiah that's written about all in the past? Nicodemus was watching for the Messiah. He apparently was one of them among the Pharisees and Sadducees and Jewish religious leaders who were looking for the Messiah and wanted to find the Messiah, not afraid to find the Messiah, but Nicodemus apparently was a man who wanted to know. He really wanted to know, is Jesus the one? And so he was questioning. Probably, I would think Nicodemus might be somewhat like many of us that are here today. Certainly Nicodemus was like I was when I was a teenager. I remember when I was somewhere around 13 or 14 years old, I grew up in the church. I attended church every Sunday of my life, including 9 months in the womb, probably. But I got to the time when I was a young teenager when I began to ask some questions and wonder if it was really true. And I began to think about the reality of who Jesus was. And many of us, and I would say probably today, most of you, at some point in your life have gone through that time when you're wondering, is Jesus real and is he who he says he is? I know I did as a young teenager. Most of us go through a time of weighing what we believe. And even this morning, I have to believe that something inside of each of us are asking questions as we take time and think about it. We even take time to be here today, either because you chose to or someone brought you today. But today is another day when you have an opportunity for that voice to be inside of you asking those questions. Who is Jesus? And is he real? And does he want to be a part of my life? Many of you have settled that question today. Many of you are in that process of choosing and deciding, and you've taken steps toward Jesus and toward faith, and yet you know that there's a part of you that's still hanging back a little bit, and you're really not sure what you have finally decided about Jesus. Well, Nicodemus was in process here. Nicodemus was at that point when he was wondering, is Jesus who he says he is? So he was asking questions. It's always good to ask questions about who Jesus is, because Jesus can answer the questions for you. God is able to take the doubts that we have and the questions we have, and he can help us with that part. Nicodemus came at his age. Nicodemus, we believe, probably was an older man, must have been to be on the ruling council of Jerusalem, one of those 12 men. Don't know exactly how old he is, but he would seem to be an older man. And he's at his age, whatever it is, he comes to the place in his life where he's wondering, is Jesus who he says he is? For most of us, we come to that place a lot earlier in life. Is he the Messiah? Is Jesus really God? Does God exist? And is Jesus really God? And the deeper questions that we hear about, we think about, well, if he is God and he is the Son of God, what in the world is the cross about? Why did God need to die? I believe that Nicodemus had a lot of questions, and I believe that we do also. Nicodemus probably wrestled with that question when he understood about the Passover, which this was the week of the Passover, and all those lambs that had been killed and sacrificed for the sins of the people. And he knew that the Messiah was supposed to come and die for the sins of the people. And he was trying to process all that like we do too. Sometimes these theological words and concepts that we hear, but we wonder, are they real and what do they really mean? I kind of think Nicodemus is right in that place that many of us are at some time in our life or throughout our lives when we're wrestling with who is Jesus? Is he the Savior of the world? We've heard the claims. If you were here earlier, you read with me John 3:16. You've heard probably all your life that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. It's on signs in a football game. Probably that verse is memorized more than any other scripture in the Bible, perhaps. You've heard it 1,000 times, probably. But it's in the story about Nicodemus who's wrestling with the truth of who is Jesus. Verse 1 says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night. Many of you might be able to put your name right in there and say, there's a time when I have come to Jesus. I've come during the day, I've come during the night, I've come kind of in the quietness of my room. Maybe at church, you've heard the gospel and you've kind of come to that place and you're wondering, is it going to be real for me? Am I going to believe? Am I going to really hold on to who Jesus is? Or am I not? Are you considering this morning the reality of who Jesus is? Today I want to offer to you what Nicodemus heard and what he chose. Something beautiful. It says Nicodemus came to Jesus at night. Many people have made a point of that. Well, why did he come at night? You know, some have concluded that Nicodemus was actually a little bit of a timid, almost a coward. He didn't want to be seen talking to Jesus. That's possible, but I don't really think that's true. I think for several reasons Nicodemus came at night, and it is mentioned 2 more times when his name is mentioned in the Gospel of John. We know that he saw the conflict that had been rising with the other Pharisees and the high priest, and Nicodemus, even among that group, did not agree with them, and he was not sure that they were right at all about what they were saying about Jesus and how they were saying, no, he can't be the Messiah, because Nicodemus had something inside his heart that was speaking to him and picking at his heart and saying, Jesus is the real thing. And I believe many people today in the church and outside of the church, when they begin to wrestle with the reality of the identity of Jesus, they come to a place, they make the decision, yes, Jesus is the real thing. And I need to know him and I need to hear him. When I think about Nicodemus in this story, and maybe Nicodemus didn't want to be seen now, it's possible, but for sure we do know some things about Nicodemus and that he was sincere. He really wanted to hear the truth. Nicodemus was respectful. He was listening. He was weighing what Jesus was saying to him. And I realize that depending on our personality and perhaps pain in our lives, when we're at that place where we're trying to decide if Jesus is real, most people do it respectfully and ask those questions. And others, they're angry, they're hostile, but they're still asking the question, who does Jesus think he is? And both kinds of people can find Jesus and who he is. So whether you come to listen to the claims of Jesus as a respectful person or maybe someone that's had a pretty cold heart to God, I just want to say to you, both of them are able to find the story and the reality of Jesus. Nicodemus was considering the claims of Jesus. His heart was receptive. Nicodemus was seeking truth. He was seeking something that took time for him to hear and to understand. And it was a very busy time. I said before, in Jerusalem, the Passover was going on. It was Passover week. And Jesus was very busy. I can imagine, for one thing, that it was hard to find time alone with Jesus, period. Perhaps nighttime was the only time to get Jesus' undivided attention. Maybe it was nighttime and Nicodemus came then because he had been trailing him and trying to catch up with Jesus ever since he came into Jerusalem, and he couldn't, and finally he found Jesus at night. He wanted a deeper, longer conversation. Choosing faith sometimes is a long process. Some people, when they hear the claims of the gospel, immediately they respond to it. And some of you would give that testimony. If I had to have each of you tell your story of how you came to faith in Christ, some of you would say, I heard it and it just clicked with me and I chose it immediately. But probably more of us would say that we heard it and we thought about it. We heard it again and we began to weigh it. And then finally we came to the place of accepting who Jesus is. I want you to know that there's a path and a journey of accepting Jesus, and it's important. It may not happen all at once. It may not happen that quickly. Maybe Nicodemus wanted to give Jesus a fair hearing, and he knew that the other Pharisees were not doing that. And later on, in fact, in the second time we read about Nicodemus, he says to the ruling council, you can't judge this man until you've heard him. Nicodemus had a depth in him that said, I am going to listen to who Jesus is. He really wanted to know him for himself. Nicodemus, I believe, was hungry for God. And this was a good time in Nicodemus' life to listen and to hear. I wonder today how hungry we are for God. And if you might be at a place today where you're saying, you know what, I've heard a lot about Jesus, but honestly, I really don't know Jesus. Like Nicodemus did not know Jesus at this time. And when you're hungry, I believe that God can speak to you. Nicodemus was apparently a good man. He was hungry for God. I mean, as far as we know, he was a good man. We don't know that much about his character. We know he had to be a scholar. He had to be somebody that had studied a lot in order to be the position that he was at. But yet, the most important thing was missing from Nicodemus's life. See, both of these things are important. It's important that we're good people. Morals are important. We know that. We would all say that. That we're good people. Nicodemus was. And we would probably say, maybe not everybody, but you know, if you learn things, that's good, and you hear, and you can apply that, that's great. You know, knowledge is good. I mean, it has its drawbacks too, but generally we recognize that the more that you hear, then the more that you can understand, and the more you hear about God, and the more the Holy Spirit speaks to you about that, the better it is. See, Nicodemus had those two things, but yet there was something missing. And I'm wondering this morning, as we think about our faith and you think about your faith, are you at the place that Nicodemus was? And you would say, there is something missing in my life spiritually. I have some good things going on, but I know there's something more. Nicodemus would say that. What about your life? Are you close, but is there something missing in your life? There's three things that I'd like to tell you that Jesus showed Nicodemus. Number one, Jesus showed Nicodemus his need. That he had a need. Jesus showed Nicodemus that he was lost without him. And Nicodemus, though he was a good man and he was a smart man, and in the world's eyes, the Jews said, oh, he's the top, the cream of the crop. But Jesus knew what was on the inside of Nicodemus. He knew the problem of sin down there. He knew the problem of selfishness. He knew that problem of, I want to be in charge. Jesus knew all about the need that Nicodemus had. And so Jesus said, Nicodemus, you have a need. He said, Nicodemus, you're close, but you're still outside of the kingdom of God. And though you're close in some ways, Nicodemus, you don't realize how lost you are. You really don't understand where you're at, Nicodemus. He says it a couple ways. We won't take time to read every part of it, but Jesus says, Nicodemus, you're a leader of the Jews, but you don't understand some things. Nicodemus, you think you're there. Well, Nicodemus knew that he was struggling. Jesus said, Nicodemus, there's something that you need. Very simply, Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. You must be born again. It's a term that Nicodemus probably had not heard before. Probably an expression. Maybe it was. I don't know if the Jews had that expression or not. I wasn't able to find that anywhere. But so I'm thinking that Nicodemus maybe heard for the first time Jesus explain it like this. You must be born again. I want to say to everybody that's here today, you must be born again. You are not good enough to be right with God. You are not smart enough to be right with God. You must be born again. You must come to the place that you put your faith and your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ to be the Savior of your life and to forgive you of your sins and give you life in His name. Being a good person is good, and knowing about God is good, but still we're on the outside. Nicodemus was around the temple all his life. Maybe you've been in this place for a long time, but I want to say to you, like I say to Nicodemus, you must be born again. It must be a step that you take in your heart and your choices and your will and on the inside of who you are personally in order to say, I want to be born again. Jesus showed him what he needed to do. Spiritual things are not found by being smart or being a good person. They're found when we open our hearts to the truth of who Jesus is. Being outside the kingdom is where we all are until we take the step of faith. If you're here this morning and you've never taken the step of putting your trust and your faith in Jesus, then you're outside of the kingdom of God, as Nicodemus was. Jesus had given to Nicodemus an illustration in verse 14 that Nicodemus would have understood. And maybe Jesus spoke it specifically because he knew Nicodemus would understand this story from the Old Testament. It's in verse 14. I read it a few minutes ago. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. What's this about Moses and a snake? The story of this comes from the book of Numbers in the law of Moses. The people had sinned against God. They were complaining and grumbling, and God had had enough, and God said, I'm going to punish you. And so God sent serpent snakes into the camp. Some of the people had been bitten. Some were beginning to die. God was so frustrated with the people and their sin. And so the people began to cry out. They recognized that they had sinned, and they cried out to God for His mercy. And as soon as God heard the call for mercy, He responded. And He said, Moses, I want you to fashion a bronze snake, and I want you to put it up on a pole. And when people see that the serpent is lifted up on the pole, they will be healed from their snake bites. Nicodemus would have understood the significance of that story. It has to do with sin. It has to do with who he was. And so Jesus said to him, just as Moses was lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up. And so we understand what Jesus is saying to us. Just as the people saw the snake and they were healed, when Jesus is lifted up and he's put on the cross, and we look to him and we put our faith in him, then we are healed. And so Jesus was saying to Nicodemus, Nicodemus, you must believe. You must believe who I am. You believe that I have come to die for the sins of the world and make that choice. The people had sinned, and God gave them mercy, and Jesus was saying to Nicodemus, you can't do it on your own. You must believe. You must believe. We've all been snake bitten by sin. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's no one here today as good as some people are, and I mean that. But there's no one here, the Bible says, that have not sinned. So all of us need to look up on that cross where Jesus is and ask him to forgive us for our sins. As good as you might be, you probably know deep in that you have sin in your life, in your heart. Jesus can take it away. Have you taken that step of faith? I want to invite you today to take that step of faith like Nicodemus heard. When I was thinking about this sermon, I really was thinking about it being the day that our kids would be with us, and I was thinking about our teens and our young people, and I really was just thinking that this message would be primarily geared toward young people. Because I know what it's like to be a young person and coming to the place where I was wrestling with the reality of who Jesus was. And I said before, in my young teen years is when I was really starting to question those things. As 15 years old, the day when I came to the place that I said, it is for me. There was a preacher at our church. It was a missionary. The missionary said something like this. Everyone needs to make the decision for themselves. Your parents can't do it for you. And boy, that hit me right in my heart. There's no one else that can make that decision for you. There would be people who would want to make that decision for you. There's probably family, brother, sister, parents, maybe a grandparent who you know they would make that decision for you, but it's up to you to make that choice and make that decision and say, I choose to believe in Jesus. See, faith is taking a step. It's reaching across a divide and saying, I put my trust on the other side. Go back to that last picture, would you please? I think it's the last one. Slide before. The idea that you don't just walk completely like this into faith. You have to step across something. You have to step across the decision that you'll take God at his word. That's what faith is. I will take God at his word. And he said that I'm a sinner. And he said that a son came. You can't be right with God without taking the step. You don't drift into a right relationship with God. You can come toward God and he will come toward you, but you have to take the step of faith. And I think sometimes we don't realize that. Sometimes we come to church and we've been in church so much that we don't really think about the necessity for us to step across the divide. And I wonder today if there might be some people, maybe young people, who need to take that step and say, Jesus, I ask you to come into my life. I ask you to forgive me for my sins, and I commit my life to you. But when I was thinking about this message today, I was thinking about the young people. But then as I was sitting over there a few minutes ago, I started thinking about the older people, thinking about Nicodemus. How did Nicodemus get to the point that he was an older man and had been this close but had never gotten to the place yet until he understand the plan of God? And I want to say to you older people today, as I was thinking about the young people earlier, I want to say to our oldest people here today, have you taken the step to ask the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart? And today you believe him as your Lord and Savior. Because you can come to the church for 70 years and never take that step of faith. Nicodemus, although the circumstances were different, was like that. And so whether you're a young person today or an older person or you're somewhere in the middle, you've been around the church and you've heard a lot of sermons, far more than you wish you did, probably. but you've never taken the step of personal faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I want to invite you this morning to take that step and to ask Jesus to come into your heart. Would you stand with me, please? I'm going to ask you to, again, say with me John 3:16, and then I'm going to pray, and I'm going to ask you this morning, maybe I'll ask this question first. I won't do it individually, but I kind of wish I could. Wish I just could go from row to row and place to place, look each of you in the eye, and say, have you asked the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart as your Lord and Savior? That's a big question, and that might seem like an overwhelming question to some of you today. You're making big decisions about your life right now. I want to encourage you, choose Jesus. You'll be glad you did. Wow, did Nicodemus find it? You know the last thing we read about Nicodemus in the end of the Gospel of John? You know what he's doing? He's taking the body of Jesus off the cross with Joseph of Arimathea. He got it. And we can have it too. Would you say with me John 3:16? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Now I invite you to pray.